time to run.
Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. You have happened across the only podcast completely dedicated to learning and mastering the Jeff Galloway Run Walk Run training method right from Jeff himself. Jeff's Run Walk Run training method has been developed and evolved over many years using feedback from nearly 500,000 of your fellow runners. This podcast will run walk run you gently through Jeff's training methods to get you to the finish line of your next event or simply help you run to your 100. So lace up those running shoes and let's get moving.
Welcome to episode 6.5 of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. How's everybody doing? So I don't want to jinx myself, but maybe, just maybe, the weather is changing and we are going to have a fall this year. What do you think? Where I'm at in Cincinnati, Ohio, no rain. We have had no rain in almost 30 days and we have set all-time high temperature records twice in the last 2 days. But today and for the next couple of days, the weather is expected to be perfect. We even got a little bit of rain last night. So as far as my training goes, I've had a great base, at least for me, for the past 2 to 3 months. And today actually was my first, I'm making air quotes here, my first long run for the Jeff Galloway 13.1 half marathon training program that I'm starting in preparation for the December half marathon. So in today's episode, you will hear me discuss this first long run with Coach Twiggs. We will first discuss what this long run should look like, and then at the end of the episode, I will discuss what it really looked like and what, if anything, I can learn, and hopefully we all can learn from this first long run. We'll also catch up with Jeff Galloway and we'll discuss something that we're all doing right now. Even as you're listening to this episode, you're doing it, and that is aging, and specifically how the Galloway Run Walk Run training program can be adjusted to help us all keep running as we age. Lastly, we had a Facebook conversation over at the Extra Mile Podcast closed Facebook group, which I will invite you all to join once again, about Tailwind Nutrition. So I tracked down the inventor and the founder, Mr. Jeff Vierling, for a conversation. And I think you're going to really enjoy that conversation as well. But before we get to our guests, one warning for this episode. In all three interviews, we were visited by some internet gremlins. I've tried to clean these interviews up as much as I can, as best I can, but I'd ask for some of your patience and forgiveness as we listen to some of these and get through them given the technical difficulties that we had. And we do the best with the budget that we have. All that and some more teasers at the end of the show. So stick around for that and y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Early walk breaks erase fatigue, so let's start this episode with a gentle walk break.
And let's head over to the walk break portion of the show where we catch up with Mr. Galloway. We have a tiny bit of technical issues this morning, but we still tracked him down. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Well, Kevin, I couldn't be better, but my technical issues are not good. But we have solved that. You have solved that.
Well, always go back to Alexander Graham Bell, and he'll fix you if all these newfangled things fall through the cracks. Yeah. So listen, we haven't spoken for a little bit, and the last time that we spoke, I remember saying something to you about you having a little bit of a lull in your schedule, and you had some honey-do lists to do, but it sure looks to me when I look at your calendar that that you've solved that not having a lot to do issue. So you're starting to get very busy. But I wanted to talk briefly about two spots that you hit since the last time we spoke, and get you to tell me how those went. The first one was, I love this name, by the way, it's the Anchorage Run Fest, but I think the marathon is called Humpy's Marathon.
Yes, it is.
Who or what is Humpy? Is that like a humpback whale or something, I'm guessing?
That's the nickname, and actually there is a restaurant chain up there. Actually, it's not so much of a chain. They have two or three restaurants, but they're very well known, and they are the sponsor of the marathon.
Oh, very good. Okay, so tell me about that one. I know last time we spoke, that one had a 7.5-hour time limit for kind of slower runners, but and you were going to work the expo. What was the weather like up there?
Well, this was our 10th year up there, and it's always been a wonderful weekend because the people are just so friendly and interesting and very, very honest people. The weather, though, has been spectacular for August. We have had an average of around a 53 Fahrenheit start and an average of around 59 Fahrenheit on the finish. I mean, in
nice.
August, it doesn't get any better than that. Now, this year, the weather, the temperature was higher, and the locals were really, really apologizing for the 63-degree temperature. But we loved the temperature. There was an issue, though, with the weather, and that was a very, very strong wind for the duration, basically all day long. The wind was between 20 and 30 knots, steady, just the whole time. And so, and the stretches that where we ran into the wind, it pretty much stood you up. It was just really so hard, but it created a very unique situation that I have never encountered until this race, and that was a sandstorm. The wind was blowing head on into a cliff area as we were running by the airport there on a trail, and the cliff was exposed. It was a sandy soil, and it was blowing so hard that for three-quarters of a mile out and three-quarters of a mile back, we could not see more than about 3 to 5 feet in front of us.
That's strange.
And furthermore, it was so much sand in the air that we had to cover our mouths and noses with our shirt because we were breathing in sand. And it took about a week for me to get all the sand out of my ear and some of those other crevices because it just goes everywhere. But other than the fact that we just had to be more careful, basically walking through that because we couldn't see even the surface in front of us, it was all covered in sand too. But we made it. And it was really one of those experiences that brought people together because whenever you have adversity like that the weather brings to you, you feel a kinship with your fellow runners. And we certainly did that. And of course, talked about it all evening and the next day.
That's just very strange. So not long, that one was in mid-August, I believe, and not too long ago in the third week of September, you headed over to the UK and did some jeffing over there. I don't know that if this is your first jeffing trip to the UK or not, but I don't remember any.
It is. We mentioned earlier, Kevin, because you brought it up. Very interesting phenomena in that there are two social groups over there, Run Mummy Run and Girls That Jeff, that use my method. And it started about 20 years ago. People in that group, mostly females, throwing out the term Jeffing It. So I'm proud to be a verb over there in Great Britain. And this social network has expanded around the world. There are members of the group that are all over the place. But the greatest concentration is over in the UK. And so Barb and I got in touch with the various groups over there, and we set up a running school in Cardiff, which is in Wales, Western UK. Mm-hmm. And it was a wonderful session. I mean, everyone there was so into the method, but had a lot of questions because, you know, when people start going after an idea on a social media network, you can see all types of assumptions that people use because it's their own thing. And, you know, I've been using this ratio and all this sort of stuff. And so the result of all this is we got people that were there straightened out so they can go back and relate to the people. And there were folks that came from all over Great Britain for that. It was really quite a really neat trip.
Well, Jeff, I know you speak English, but you don't speak the King's English. Was there any sort of gap in either one of you have to repeat yourself over there?
Yes, there were. You know, my family originally came from Scotland a long time ago, but I quite honestly find the Scottish the hardest generally for me to understand. Their dialects are sometimes rather obscure.
Yeah.
That was the only group where I really had some problems, although there was one lady in the class who had an accent that was a little bit more pointed than anybody else. And so she and I had to have translators between the two. But we've got communication going.
That's very good. And I also noticed, I believe it was on one of your social pages, that you made it over to Oxford University and hit the track over there. Tell me, that had to be kind of impressive to hit that track there. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Oxford is a very special place. It is the site of the oldest university in the world, continuously used. 1200 is when it started.
Wow.
And it just has so many very interesting historical highlights. And to go into these quadrangles where students have lived for so long, 700 years in some cases, was a treat, and really picked up a lot of very interesting tidbits over there. But there was one site that was very important to me, and that was where Roger Bannister broke the four-minute mile for the very first time in history. And it was a big deal. It was right at incident occurred just a few years before I started running. I guess it was 2 years before I started running, but I was old enough at the time to hear people talking about it. My grandparents talked about it. My father talked about it. In our family, it was a big deal in sports. And so it made a big impression on me. And the track where he ran that first four-minute mile is still there and still quite used. So we went out there, and I was just feeling the chill bumps as I entered the track area. And this guy who was a coach there came walking out, and he saw me looking at the track, and he said, you make sure that you run around there. And he looked at me, and he said, you look familiar. And I introduced myself, and he actually kneeled down and said, "You're my hero."
Oh, no kidding. How cool.
Yeah, he had read a lot of my stuff, and he had used it for the running club members, a number of them there in Oxford. So I was very honored to talk with him. And
you don't suppose he was hoping you would knight him or something, do you?
Well, Roger did get knighted, but
did
I'm
he?
Not counting on that.
But, did you run around the track?
Yes, I tell you, I had to do that. And
yeah.
That was really a very special treat. We went over there with two close friends of ours, Barbara Tate and John Kornhauser, and we ran around that famous track, and I am still tingling from that.
How neat is that? May the 6th, 1954, and he ran in 3 minutes, 54 seconds, and 4/10 of a second. Not bad.
That was not the first time he broke it, but you're right.
Oh, no.
That was later on. But yes, he broke 4 minutes barely the first time, but it was more of a time trial. So it was remarkable that with just a few people on a pretty bad day in which there was a lot of wind, he broke it. And the coach there showed me the tower of a church right across from the track, right there, that he centered on, because it was that tower. If you ran towards it, you were running right towards the finish. So when he was getting super tired on that last lap and had 200 meters to go, he just focused on that tower, and I did too.
Very nice. Well, it sounds like a great trip. I hope you're planning on getting back to the UK sometime, and I know that that Jane hopes you do too.
Yes, we definitely got a lot of good response, and really look forward to doing that again.
Good. Well, let's find out where you're going to be in the next few weeks, and then, like I said, I know it looks like you're going to get really busy. Tell me about a couple of ones. The ones you got coming up that I see is St. George Marathon in beautiful St. George, Utah. Have you run this one before? This one looks like it's all downhill to me. That one looks like a BQ.
Well, it is a popular Boston qualifier because has a significant downhill to it, but it's not all downhill. The first 10 miles have rollers. So I have run it once, and I remember questioning the downhill portion during the first 10 miles because right around 10 miles, there's a 1 mile uphill.
Oh, yikes.
So it is significant. But after that one, it's pretty much of a toboggan chute downhill. One of the neatest things about it is they have campfires out there at the start. So it's usually quite cool at the start. So they let you out from your bus at the starting line, and then you just gravitate back towards the first fire pit that has space around it. And then as it gets closer to the start, and the fire pits have enough people around them, they'll light another fire pit, and they move closer and closer to the start. And what Barb and I did that morning is it was really chilly, and we had not dressed adequately to wait for the start. So that fire felt awfully good. And we just, when they called people to the start, we let everybody go to the start, and we just moved from one fire pit to the next towards the starting line and stayed warm as long as we could.
Nice. October the 12th, I'm guessing you're getting excited about heading back to your North Carolina roots.
I am in Greensboro. It's the Cannonball Races.
Yeah.
And that one is put on by the same group that puts on the Big Beach Marathon and Half down in Gulf Shores, Alabama, which I've gone for the last 2 years. And Barb and I love that event. We really respect and enjoy the way that that group puts on that race, and they do a wonderful job. So really looking forward to going to North Carolina and participating in that event that's so well run.
Which race do you, because I know there's like a five, a half, a full, and which one are you doing at that one?
I'm going to do the half because Barb and I are running the marathon this coming weekend in St. George. We're going to drop down and do the half and then go back up to the next one that we'll be talking about and run the marathon the following weekend.
In Iowa, right?
That's right, Des Moines. And that's another really well-run series of events. I went in there in July, actually on my birthday, to do some promo, and I had one of the largest turnouts for a running school on a pre-event like that I've ever had. There's just a lot of interest there in my method, and looking forward to coming back there, Des Moines, Iowa.
The fall weather is going to make that one just absolutely perfect and probably gorgeous as well, too.
Yes, it usually, we've run that several times now, and it usually coincides with the turning of the leaves, which is absolutely beautiful on that course.
Early November, the last one, at least the last official race I want to talk about on this episode, early November, November the 2nd, the good news is you will be back down in Orlando at the Run Disney Wine and Dine. The bad news is that one looks like to me like it's sold out already, but I'm sure we can catch up with you for about 3 or 4 days solid standing on your feet at the expo, right?
You better believe it. That really is one of my favorites of all races that I've ever been to. It has just a more relaxed atmosphere, and the wine and the food and wine festival at Disney is going on. And then Run Disney has just this fabulous event that goes through the venues. So yes, I am greatly looking forward to it. And it's been a long time since the Star Wars. Wow.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Suffering from Disney withdrawal.
With Disney. I didn't want to stop talking about the exciting things you got coming up without talking about a retreat you're doing out in California with a kind of a special theme that I know that a lot of folks are excited about in actually November the 7th through the 10th. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Yes, it's Boston, How to Qualify. And we have had just a steady stream of people that wanted to have a retreat that was devoted to that. And we still have some spots left, so you can still go to our website and register. But this is full weekend in which I can individualize. I can write out a training program, whether you really want to qualify for Boston this year or whether you want to do your best time in the marathon. And then talking about all types of very specific things that will help you improve, about longer long runs, the repetitions, the adjustment of the run, walk, run, the adjustment of your stride length, and the form drills that we will do together. And I do an individualized running form evaluation that people have told me has been very beneficial to them in running smoother. Nutrition is also a significant issue, and on. So there will be a lot of new information that I have really not given out at other retreats because of the specific nature of this. And it's going to be a really upbeat situation there in beautiful, beautiful Carmel.
Suppose I want to run a half marathon faster. Can I learn anything from this retreat, or is this one just specific to the marathon?
It is absolutely going to help because I will be able to individualize for half marathons. I don't want to get any further down into 10Ks and 5Ks for speed. But half marathons and marathons, yes, I will work with you and give you a program to your goal.
Well, perfect, Jeff. You know, one of the things when I look at your calendar, we're going to have to make sure we get back together a lot sooner, because you are really starting to get busy as we get closer to that big December date that we'll talk about here before long. So,
absolutely. And we do want to mention that we've inserted a beach retreat. We haven't been able to do a beach retreat for a while because of facilities, but we're expecting to have our new facility available in first weekend in December. I mean, it's not the 1st of December, it's the 8th.
Yeah, I'll put in the show notes a link to all of the retreats, including the ones that we just discussed. Very good. Thanks,
good.
Jeff.
After that gentle walk break, and knowing just the right ratio and pace, it's time to run.
So let's get over to the run interval, the part of the show where we focus on a few run, walk, run elements, Jeff. And let me tee this topic up, if I could. We all want to run until we're 100. I think that's a given. But if we do that, then we're by definition going to get older, aren't we? At least the listeners will. You and I might not be getting older, but all of them are. So let's focus on them for a while, shall we?
Absolutely. Our purpose is to help our customers.
All those guys. That's right.
Yeah.
So I'd like to chat a bit about running and aging, and specifically some of the adjustments that we need to make, or at least be aware of as we age. So to begin with, can you help discuss some of the benefits of running that will not change or will not hurt us as we age, such as bone and joint damage? Let's talk about that. You're
the most common,
to a guy, by the way, who's gone through some of that. But go ahead, tell us about that.
Well, absolutely. And of course, there are a lot of individual issues here. The main question here is, there's an assumption among the general population that if you continue to run distance, that you're going to wind up with some significant bone and joint damage. And this is simply not supported by the research. Now, I will say that the small subset of distance runners that stay focused on running a lot of speed work and running races nonstop can damage their orthopedic units. But if you have the right run, walk, run, then you have the opportunity to make adjustments continuously. And there's just a very high percentage of people that are able to keep running into their 80s and 90s, and who knows, maybe past 100.
One of the reasons that I love running so much, and I think most people do, are the endorphins. You're always talking about those endorphins. Do endorphins lower, or those levels go away as we get older?
No, and endorphins provide us with only one of the rewards that we receive from running. These are natural painkillers that are secreted, but when we run, but they have a side effect, which is a feeling of relaxation and of well-being. And in some cases, because there are individual differences in how people perceive the endorphin effect, there are exhilarating moments depending on how you do your workout. But even more powerful than that are the brain circuits that are turned on at any age. We're talking about the good attitude circuit, the energy circuit, the empowerment circuit, and then the turning on of the hippocampus, which is the center for learning and for memory. And the one thing that I've noticed in runners that are in their 80s is that they don't act their age. And that's a really good thing, because these runners, to a person that I've met, including some that had moved into their 90s, are as mentally sharp and have as much energy and vitality as any 30-year-old. And so if you want to keep that, you've got a chance if you will continue to run.
So what I'm hearing is that there are still a lot of benefits to running until you're 100 years old, but there are, correct me if I'm wrong though, Jeff, there are some changes that we need to make and adjustments that we need to make to our running as we age. Are there not? Can you give us some examples?
That's very true. And by the way, I need to mention that we're going to do a special retreat in Carmel in January in order to highlight these amazing benefits that you will receive from continuing as you go, and then how to accomplish that without getting injured and stay in the game. But here are some of the changes. One of them is days per week that you run. Now, there's been some change in the last 15 years on the number of days per week that runners have been able to run because of the adjustment of run, walk, run. When we started making our changes to shorter amounts of running and more frequent walk breaks, a lot of older runners were able to run more days per week. But here's the clincher. If you are experiencing increased fatigue, increased aggravation of weak links, then if you're, say, age 46 to 59, don't run any more often than every other day. And then once you reach around 60, if you have aggravation on running more than every other day or running every other day, drop back to 3 days a week. And then at around 70 years old, again, if there's aggravation, you run 2 days a week of, say, 45 minutes or up to an hour with a lot of walk breaks, and then have one walk day or cross-training day. At 80-plus, it's one longer run-walk a week, a much shorter run-walk with a lot of walking in between, and then one short walk or a cross-training mode. And I will say that elliptical has been a very good cross-training mode for a lot of runners. If you have the right elliptical format, it's more of a sliding motion. It's really quite gentle.
Oh, very good.
And some of the other things that you and I have talked about, a slower pace for long runs, instead of 2 minutes per mile slower than marathon pace, 3 minutes per mile slower. And the other adjustment that becomes a major deal is the run, walk, run amounts. So runners in their 70s, say, who used to use a 30-second run, have found that they can avoid aggravation by dropping down to only 10 to 15 seconds and walk for 30. And that's been a very good fix if they start to have more fatigue or aches and pains.
What about junk miles? Are junk miles good or bad for us as we get older?
Well, that's a very complex issue and very individual in nature because, and this is where I'm getting into a lot of feedback from runners who are over 60 and particularly over 70. They missed running more than 3 days a week. And so when they started reading some of my stuff or attend one of my Running Till 100 weekend retreats, and started adjusting the run, walk, run to shorter segments of 10 to 20 seconds of shuffling and no more than that, they've been able to run more days per week. So, and it's an individual issue. Some are and some are not. But all of that said, if you are having aches and pains by adding a little extra mile here or there, then at least temporarily, drop back a little on the junk miles that you inserted or you're used to inserting, and let your body heal up, because it will heal up in most cases. And then you can go on and try other segments. I will tell you that the most common way that runners who like to run a little more can do so when they get older is to add a second workout on a running day. And of course, we're talking about a lot of folks now who are entering their 70s and 80s who have been running for a number of years, and they're retired. So they've got more time to be able to run.
Yeah.
And they just don't want to overdo it. Well, thankfully, a lot of them have been able to do that by running a short run in the morning with a lot of walk breaks, and then coming back in the afternoon and doing another one or even a longer one. And, of course, the adjustment of the run-walk-run has been able to keep people below the threshold of irritation in those areas.
Jeff, I don't know how many different training methods there are, but suffice to say there are a lot of them. I've tried quite a few. There's no method out there that will, no matter whether you're a small child or a 100-year-old person or anywhere in between, that is more flexible and has more ways of adjusting so that you can meet whatever goal it is you have than run, walk, run. That's the amazing thing about this whole thing.
It's one of the greatest gratifications I have. I had people in England tell me that, and of course everywhere I go, the crowning touch of the program is that each of us has the ability to gain control over our exercise.
You mentioned the retreat coming up in January, where you're going to focus on running till you're 100. But I don't recall if you said, was that the one in California or down in Florida?
It is in California. It's in Carmel.
Okay. It's in Carmel. Then let me look at the date there. January 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th, it looks like.
Yep.
Like I said, I will put in the show notes, so you don't have to take notes out there. Just head to the show notes. Click on the link, and it'll take you right to all of Jeff's retreats, including the ones we just spoke about.
And I'll load you up with all types of things to keep you going until you're 100, and then you're on your own.
Just get me there, and I'm okay with that, Jeff. Thank you.
Good.
It's time to see how you are progressing in your training. So, it's time for a Magic Mile.
Let's head over to the Magic Mile, the part of the show where we turn over to our lovable extra milers with some questions for Jeff. The first one is from my buddy JD. Is there any chance that you'll be adding a marathon training plan to your list of training plans on the Garmin fitness watches? He's currently using the half marathon training plan, and he's loving it, but he wishes that there was a marathon training plan. And actually, he signed his little email to you. Thanks, Kevin's younger and better looking friend, JD.
Well, JD, I'm honored that you are the better looking friend of Kevin. So, the answer to your question is that we definitely are addressing the marathon, but Garmin is releasing the programs at their own schedule, not mine. So I do not know when those will be. I know they've been on the drawing board for a while, and the material has been presented. So there should be a release of those at some point.
Oh, good. So from your perspective, your part of it is done. Now it's up to them, right? Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
All right. So, JD, keep your eyes out on Garmin Connect, and hopefully very soon. Good. Well, our good friend Heidi from down there in Florida, she says, "Hi, Kevin and Jeff. I would like Jeff to go over this subject on why it's not a good idea to run a long run and race on the same weekend, and if it's whether or not it's okay to do it. Also, what happens to your training when you start to overdo it? What signs of overtraining that you might come up with?"
Well, Heidi, the human body is designed to adapt to endurance running in some simply amazing ways, but there are a whole lot of individual issues. So I would never say that any one of us could adapt to run a marathon on Saturday and a marathon on Sunday. Some people simply cannot do that. However, with the right adjustment of run, walk, run, there are a lot of people that build themselves up to do that by practicing double runs. The training, though, that is best for distance running is to gradually increase to where you will simulate what you're going to be doing on the race weekend or on the challenge weekend that you're doing that. So look at the training programs that I do in my trail running book. Those are the best source book for a training program for the longer events or the multiple events. And then you can also look on the Run Disney site for the training programs for the goofy or the dopey. Now, as to the signs of overdoing it, Heidi, one of the best signs is to monitor your morning pulse rate. So as soon as you are conscious in the morning, you want to monitor it. There are a lot of devices that people are wearing overnight that enable them to keep track of that morning pulse rate and then do a graph on it. And in my training journal, which you can find out about on our website, Jeff Galloway's Training Journal, there's actually some graph charts that allow you to track your morning pulse rate and see at a glance what's happening to it. The bottom line is that you want to establish a baseline after you have enough data on what that low pulse rate is in the morning. And once you get an average, you don't have to go to the absolute lowest heart rate that you've ever had in the morning, but you want to have an average low. And once that average low is 10% higher, then you should really think about either taking a day off or to have an easy day. And a lot of really talented runners who work out a lot will look at 5% increase as a sign that they need to take a super easy day instead of pushing it in the speed workout. Other signs are that you have trouble sleeping at night. I mean, this is a counterintuitive thing, but if you repeatedly overdo it, a lot of runners have told me, and this has been documented in research, that they have trouble sleeping. So that's a sign that you're overdoing it. Then you can definitely notice that your workouts are just not improving. And the Magic Mile is a very good indicator of that, because if you've been improving your Magic Mile the way most people do throughout a given season, but suddenly your Magic Mile times go up and it's only a mile and there's no reason in the weather that caused that, then chances are you're overtraining. So I'd really look at the various components that could lead to that and make adjustments.
Very good. I've got one more from Arlene. She lives in a very hilly area, and she really doesn't have access to a track. So she wants to know if she should do her cadence drills on those hills that are right outside her home, or would it be better to do them on the treadmill?
It's hard to do the cadence drills on a treadmill. I mean, once you fiddle with it and get the cadence down, some people have been able to figure out a way to do it, but it's not easy, and it's really not as intuitively successful as running on fairly flat ground. But you don't have to have an absolute flat area to do this. It just needs to be almost flat. So a little bit of downhill would be a good way to do this. And realize that you can use less than 30 seconds. You only need about 10 to 12 seconds to establish a cadence that you could do. But whatever it is that you use, 10 seconds, 12, or 15, when you're using a shorter segment, you need to keep that as the same standard that you use throughout the season. So you keep using that. So there are ways of doing it, but you want to use the same exact course every time you do a cadence drill.
Very good. That makes total sense. Thanks, Jeff. Before we get out of here and I let you go, I want to touch on the Northside Hospital Orthopedic Institute Half Marathon, which is the JG 13.1, and their new amazing sponsor, the weekend of December the 14th and 15th. And I know we've got some pretty big plans in the works. The biggest, one of the biggest that I know, and changes, we spoke about this, but the whole relay deal. Tell us a little bit about why did you come up with a relay for that race? It's kind of, it's not odd, but it's certainly new for this distance, isn't it?
It's fairly new. There are a few other races around the country that have inserted a relay as part of a half marathon, but it's rare. And there are two reasons why we've done that. One is we have a lot of people in the area where we run the race, which is just a beautiful part of residential Atlanta, with some touches into the business district. And it's just a stellar place to run. But a lot of folks aren't ready for a half marathon for a lot of reasons. So they have actually asked us, could you, on that same course, do a relay or let us run a part of it? And so this is why we've come up with that. So we have two legs on the relay that are approximately 5 miles each. And then we have one that's less than 3 miles. So you can choose a team in which someone is not really ready to run more than about a 5K. Well, they can be part of your team. And we're very excited about that. We've gotten really good response on this. And relays are fun. I mean, you get into a relay situation and you're running for more than yourself. And you're when you have a team that is pulling one another along like that, you feel a very different type of motivation than you feel regularly. It's really a neat experience.
Is the relay in that order? The first person does five, and then the next five, and then the person that finishes is about the 3 mile runner?
That is correct. So you can get a family member, for example, who really can't run more than about a 5K, and yet they never, so they tell you, I'll never be able to go across that half marathon finish line. Well, they get a chance to feel what it is like to come in during that last approximately 3 miles and cross that finish line and be a part of the race as a relay member.
Through the beautiful Piedmont Park and the chill bumps that you get coming into that finish line. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Piedmont Park is one of the most beautiful parks in the South, actually in the country, and because we support the Piedmont Park Conservancy. That's our major beneficiary for our event because they do such a wonderful job for our city, and they allow us to use their beautiful venue.
Yeah. It is beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. I love the whole race is beautiful. I love it when you come right into the park there and you got all that beautiful greenery, and it's just a nice, you got to get to Atlanta this year if you're listening to this podcast. We have some other special things just for podcast listeners that Jeff's kind enough to help us with every year, and we'll get to more of that as we go on, as we get closer to that December. It's only about 10 weeks away, 2.5 months, a little less than 2.5 months, so we'll be there before you know it, Jeff.
It's getting close, and we do have some other things that we'll talk about in our next podcast, Kevin, that we're excited about it. Don't want to mention them yet, but we will mention them, and I can just say that I know people are going to like them.
Very good. Jeff, that's all I have for you today. Thanks for your time. Thanks for letting us know where you're going to be and telling us all how we can keep doing this stuff till we're 100.
Well,
I know you're going to be busy with some traveling.
Well, let's make a bond that you and I are going to pull one another along, Kevin.
Let's do it. I promise if you do.
That's a deal.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Have a great rest of your day and safe travels, and we'll check in before too long.
Sounds great, Kevin.
Right.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
After a great endorphin rush, let's end this episode with a well-deserved cool down.
Okay, let's head over to the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway Edition Hotline. I've got a very special guest, Mr. Jeff Vierling. He is the founder of Tailwind Nutrition. Jeff, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Where in the world are you today, Jeff? Where are you guys located?
I am sitting in beautiful Durango, Colorado, where it's about 75 degrees, and it's just a gorgeous fall afternoon.
Why is it that part of the country seems to be endurance capital? You guys are nuts out there with this whole endurance stuff. What's going on? No oxygen?
Well, you can't shake a stick without hitting an endurance athlete around here. But I think it's just the terrain. You know, we're surrounded by mountains. We have a beautiful river and really kind of close proximity to the desert also. So it's just a great place to get outdoors.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. So Jeff, before we get started, I wanted to let you know what a small world it was, because I was having lunch last Friday with fellow Jeff Galloway employee, the training director of Jeff's training programs, Chris Twiggs, and your name came up. You two have a history of some sort, don't you? You and Chris, as well as your wife Jenny.
Yeah. Chris is also really involved in the Hard Rock 100, which is a legendary trail running race in Silverton, Colorado. It's a really tough race and quite a bit of up and down. And unfortunately, it was canceled this year because we had such a huge snowpack. It didn't melt off in time for the race. But Chris was out here visiting, and we were able to have dinner with him and his son and really enjoy catching up.
Nice. So what I get out of that, Jeff, is that Chris has an amazing talent for getting others to buy his meal for him. That's what
I imagine that just by judging the number of people that he knows and friends he has in various places, that he probably doesn't have to buy many meals when he's out traveling.
Exactly. So listen, first of all, thanks for joining the podcast. And let me tell you a little bit about the genesis. Your product, Tailwind Nutrition, came up on our Facebook page a little bit ago, and somebody just threw it out there and wanted to know what our folks thought about it, and it got an amazing response for our Facebook page, all of it positive, I'll tell you up front, but and a lot of questions. You know, who uses this? When do you use it? How do you use it? All that kind of stuff. So I wanted to reach out to you, see if I could have you on the show and answer just a few very basic questions about your product, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that's great. That's great to hear.
To begin, I'd like to ask you a little bit about your exercise background. The audience you're speaking to are basically all runners. We do have some crazy runners like Chris Twiggs, but the rest of them are just, you know, middle of the pack, back of the pack runners who can stay out even for a half marathon, can stay out for, you know, 3+ hours for that kind of thing. What do you do these days in the way of exercise?
Well, I that sort of middle of the pack, back of pack, that definitely describes me. I'm far from leading the pack. The genesis of Tailwind was when I was racing the Leadville 100 mountain bike race, and that's kind of what led me down this path. But today, as I'm I'm a dad, I'm working on a young business and pretty busy. I love doing all sorts of things. I still do mountain biking, but I also enjoy trail running and hiking and in the winter some skate skiing and snowshoeing and those kinds of things. So I just enjoy spending time outdoors, and if I'm going for something that's going to be hour and a half plus, 2 hours plus, I'm definitely bringing my tailwind.
So you are the – I've done a lot of interviews with company owners, inventors, entrepreneurs, but I have to admit, Jeff, you're the first interview I've done with a company owner or an inventor that has actually posted a video of themselves blowing chunks on their website. I'd like you to tell us a little bit about – well, not excruciating detail of the video, but at least what happened at that Leadville 100 that I think was the genesis of this whole thing.
Yeah, so that was my first Leadville 100. I was doing the mountain bike race, and actually, truth be told, that was my first race that I'd ever done.
The 100 kind of, mile race for your first one.
I'm a little crazy.
Yeah.
for picking that, I think. But like I said, I'm a dad, and I was working full time, and I this is something that I picked out. A friend of mine suggested it, and I spent about 6 months training for it, and I felt like I was in pretty good shape. And then I got out there, and after a couple hours, my stomach started feeling bad, and that stayed with me the whole rest of the way. It just turned into one of those real gut checks to try and finish. Not to put too fine a point on it, but the breakfast that I'd had 13 hours earlier wasn't nearly as tasty when it came back at me at the end of the race. So I was disappointed because I felt like my training and my fitness was good, and I just was let down by my nutrition. It just didn't really work for me, and that was kind of what started launching me on this path of trying to understand where I was going wrong and what I could do to fix it. And ultimately, I found that the products that I were trying contained ingredients that were challenging to digest while my body was just needing the calories and diverting my energy into my muscles and into my capillaries for thermal regulation and away from the digestive tract. So it just didn't make a lot of sense to me to challenge it in that way. And that led me to develop the Tailwind blend. That was the start of it.
So I'm no nutritionalist, but it amazes me to think that your breakfast from 13 hours earlier came back up. And the amazing thing to me is that breakfast was still in your stomach 13 hours later, because I would have never thought food could stick around in your stomach no matter what it was for 13 hours.
Yeah, you're not the only one who thought that.
So somehow this led to meeting.
But muesli
people.
Is.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. It's going to say that muesli is pretty readily identifiable, let's say.
Going in and coming back out. So tell me how this event turned into you meeting people in parking lots, handing out little bags of white paper.
well,
white powder, I should say.
So white powder. Yeah. Like I said, I kind of dove into the research about how our bodies fuel. And I was trying to solve the big problem of just being able to feel good, have my stomach feel good during my training and my event. But I was also trying to simplify nutrition and make it easier, make it more foolproof. And I created the powder that, where the fuel matches what our bodies absorb. So, it doesn't challenge you from a digestion standpoint. You don't have to digest it. And added in the electrolytes that replace what you sweat out. And then some other things, that I'd learned from racing that overly sweet and sort of sticky consistencies are really hard to take for a long time. So, I was aiming for something that was closer to water, with the mouthfeel and to be really light and clean tasting. So I kind of put all that together and started making it for myself, and it was working pretty well. But then I also shared it with other folks who were doing the Leadville races. And then I shared it with people around Durango. And it's a great test bed here because we have lots of people who are doing outdoor things all the time. And they, you know, they kind of kept coming back to me and saying, hey, this is the best stuff I've ever used. Can I get some more? Right. So I was making, making the powder on Jenny's grandmother's KitchenAid in the kitchen. So I was leaving white powder all over kitchen countertops and popping it into Ziploc bags and, you know, I was meeting people in parking lots and handing out baggies of white powder. So it was a pretty awkward situation.
Yeah, I bet.
I think, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and then at some point you went from obviously meeting those folks and giving out the product to making this, jumping in with both feet.
Yeah. And what did it for me was actually, at Leadville, and she had been trying to complete a 100-mile race for, she tried seven of them and she dropped out of all seven with stomach problems and just not being able to get there. And I gave her some of this, didn't even have a name at the time, but I gave her some and she sent me an email a couple months later and said that she had finished the Shenandoah 100. And as she was crossing the finish line, she just broke down in tears because it had been this goal for her better part of a decade. And to finally feel good and to finish it was just kind of emotionally overwhelming for her. And that was when I first kind of felt like, wow, this isn't just sort of a better mousetrap that people are coming back and saying, hey, this is good and I really like it, but that it could actually help people realize their goals. And I know firsthand, just as somebody that's not a professional athlete, but who had taken on some goals of my own, that, you know, you put all that time in, you put all that effort in, and having a nutrition that helps you get there can really be a meaningful and powerful thing.
And so let's dig into Tailwind specifically, if we can. From what I gather, for the most part, you really only make two products, the endurance fuel and the recovery drinks. Is that, am I right there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
We
have
a little bit about the endurance fuel first. What is it? What's it intended for? Who's it aimed at?
Sure. So the endurance fuel is it's a powder mixed in with water, and then you can just drink it as you would water during your training or your event. And when you're doing that, you're getting all the calories that you need to keep your energy levels steady and be able to, you know, fully complete the workout. And you're also getting the right amount of electrolytes mixed in with the water to keep your hydration and your electrolytes in balance. So it's very simple to use. You can kind of just drink it as you would your water, and you kind of then know your nutrition's going to work.
Right. One thing you don't have in there is protein, right?
Yeah, and that's actually for some specific reasons. As I was researching the ingredients that can cause stomach problems, protein is actually a very difficult molecule to digest. It's challenging for your digestive tract. And what's happening when you're exercising is that you're expending more calories than your gut can absorb. So you're expending calories faster than you can absorb them. And so the body starts looking for energy in all the ways it can get it. And if you take protein during that exercise, what ends up happening is your body tries to break that down and utilize it as energy. And that's actually a process that can consume more calories down than you get out of the protein. So it's something that can cause you stomach problems and doesn't really give you what you need to keep going during exercise.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So who's it aimed at, the endurance fuel?
So the endurance fuel, the way we talk about it is if you're aiming at at an event or a workout that's going to be 2+ hours, then that's endurance. Where you're at risk of really fully exhausting your energy stores if you aren't able to take in some nutrition that can help you keep those up.
Very good. And then the recovery drinks. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the recovery drink, we took a step back and kind of looked at it from physiologically. What does the body really need to recover? And there are really three key things. One is that you need to rehydrate. It's very common for runners or for any athletes really, that after a sustained workout that you're a little bit down on your hydration. And then to replenish the energy stores that you've consumed, and then to have all the building blocks that you need to rebuild your muscle. So that's what our rebuild recovery product contains. It's got electrolytes that help you to rehydrate, and then the carbohydrates that can rebuild your energy stores, mm-hmm. And then a complete protein that's very efficient and gives you those building blocks that you need to, that your body needs to rebuild muscle. And it's very beneficial for that to be taken within 30 to 60 minutes after exercise. It's a unique time metabolically in which your body is much more receptive to the rebuilding your energy stores. And once you've done that, then it can turn its attention to rebuilding muscles. So if you hop on it right after a workout, it's actually going to make you kind of feel better, not only for the rest of the day and have a little bit of higher energy levels instead of being wiped out, but it's going to prepare you then to be able to go and train again the next day.
I don't know if this is a fair question or not, but I'm thinking for a marathoner or even a half marathoner, you know, 3 hours, 3 to 6 hours or something. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's not really easy, at least it's not for me, to carry enough nutrition with me. And you know, I certainly don't have a team to meet me someplace and give me a practically speaking, how would you suggest I carry enough of this stuff, of your endurance fuel, to use for 6 hours, something like that?
So there are a few different strategies that people have. Some people will do things like, of course, you can start out if you're using a flask or a handheld or something like that. Mm-hmm. You can start out with a mix that's already mixed up. But some people will carry, say, another soft flask and have the powder already in it, and then add the water on the course for their second round. We also have some instructions on our website about how to make a concentrate. Where you've got mostly powder and then a little bit of water, and then you're squirting that into either a cup or into your main, your main flask or your handheld.
That makes sense.
And use it that way. Yeah.
You guys also sell stick packs. Are those like mm-hmm. individual deals?
We sell stick packs, and those are 200 calories. Which is where we start out at about an hour's worth. So if you were going out for 3 hours, you'd be maybe three stick packs. Gotcha. So those are another way you can carry it. In this case, you know, this going to a belt or a pocket pretty easily, and then you just tear it open and add it into the water.
Gotcha. Very good. Only a couple of questions left, Jeff. I appreciate your time. What's the starter kit? I noticed you guys sell something on your website called Starter Kit.
Mm-hmm. So Duris Fuel line, we actually have 8 different flavors, and 4 of those are caffeinated and 4 of those are caffeinated. And then with the recovery, we have 2 flavors right now, a chocolate and vanilla. And so for people who are just trying out Tailwind, one thing that's definitely is that the taste is very personal and it's all over the map. And so the starter kit is a great way to kind of try all those flavors and see what you like best. So what you're getting is sort of one of each in a single serve packet. So you're not committing to a full bag or a large amount before you know what you like best.
Gotcha. And what's the Tailwind challenge?
So the Tailwind challenge is something that we started a long time ago when we kind of first launched Tailwind. And the idea is that when you're training for an event, you really want to train with the nutrition you're going to use for the event. And so the Tailwind challenge involves a package. You can choose four bags of different flavors of the endurance fuel and train with that and then race with it. And our guarantee is that if you meet your expectations and meet your goal, then we'll refund your entry fee for that race. That's something that we feel really confident Tailwind's going to work. It's very simple to use, and if you use it consistently, it'll work. But we wanted to kind of throw that out there so that people could try it and see for themselves.
Nice. Last question for you. Where's the best place to buy Tailwind nutrition products?
So we have all of our products on our website, tailwindnutrition.com. They are also available on Amazon. We're in about 800 or so stores nationwide, and we have store locators on our website. So there's a store near most of the listeners, and you can find that on our website.
Good, very good. Well, I'm going to give it a shot and try it myself, Jeff. I'll let you know how things go. I appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
And take care. If we get questions, is it all right if maybe I reach back out to you at some point in the future and we reconnect again?
Absolutely. I mean, we get it. Like, I definitely get it that nutrition can be tricky. And at the same time, when you know you're training for a half marathon or marathon, you've got a lot to worry about, and nutrition really should be one of them. And that's what we're trying to help out with. So if people have questions, and more than happy to help that in.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Maybe if I have some questions, I'll invite myself to dinner.
Okay. You're always welcome.
Thanks, Jeff. Take care.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, bye-bye.
Have a good one. Bye.
And over to the cool down portion of the show where we catch up with Coach Chris Twiggs. How are you today, Chris?
Better than I deserve, Kevin. I'm doing great. I think I'm on to you. You know,
yeah.
Because you see, I think you've been getting sick of me talking about how I'm just sitting here in paradise at my tiki bar and all like that. So you moved the time up on me today and caught me in the car so that I couldn't talk about how, although I have to say it's a gorgeous day, 86 degrees here in Florida, but there's a nice breeze coming through, and I'm loving life.
You guys even have nice weather down there during hurricanes, for crying out loud. When I was talking to Amanda, it was the middle of that hurricane that came through, and it was nothing. What's up with that?
Well, yeah, you know, thank God. Hurricanes are nothing until they're everything.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
And so, yeah, we were really lucky. We were really lucky this year, although we were reminded, Amanda came up to the island this past weekend for a big group run that we had. In fact, Tim and Donna were up as well. Mm. And we were reminiscing over the old days when we would do that group run, and we used to run out on the pier that used to be on the north end of the island until a hurricane took it out.
Yikes.
So, hurricanes are nothing unless they're everything.
Yeah. So listen, let's catch up a little bit. And
you bet.
You and I had some lunch recently in Dayton. I made it up there and got to see you for the Air Force marathon, but I didn't see any results and didn't catch up too much with very many people for the race itself the next day. How did that one go?
It went great. It really was great seeing you. I, you know, get to talk to you often enough, but don't get to see you nearly often enough. Mm-hmm. So it was great. And thank you for lunch, by the way.
No sweat.
But we had a good time. It was hot. Which is no surprise. You know, it was blazing hot last year in that race. And I got to tell you, I was running nervous because I was worried that they might black flag it and pull us off the course, but they didn't. We were able to finish. Everybody was able to finish. And I brought my team in on time, and we had most of our pacers were able to hit their targets despite the really brutal heat. And our buddy Dave, the program director there in Dayton, he did a great job. He brought the last pace group in on time in 7 hours for the marathon.
Nice.
So it was a good time there. I really highly recommend that race for anybody, especially Galloway runners, because the roads are so wide. There's tons of room to take your walk break on the right side, and you're not in anybody's way ever. So that was terrific. And gosh, and the museum. Have you been through that museum they have there on base?
That's a must see.
Oh my gosh, it sure is. I didn't see it last year, and everybody told me what a mistake I made by missing it. So I went in and saw it this year, and the mistake I made this year was not having enough time to go in. So I'm planning on coming back for it next year and devoting at least half a day to that museum, because it really is amazing.
Yeah, for folks who don't know, the race is, I guess, sponsored by and a lot of the course, that was going to be my next question, but a lot of the course is right at the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base located there in Dayton. How much of that, and they have an amazing museum with things in that museum you never thought you'd get to see up close. It is pretty cool. How much of that race is actually on the base?
Oh, I'd say about half of it is on the base itself. You start off on the base and you run several miles on the base before you leave. And then you go out into Fairborn, which is this neat little town right there by Wright Pat. And they are ready for Halloween in Fairborn, Ohio. I will tell you, there were at least three Halloween shops or costume shops that were all decorated. The houses in the neighborhood we ran through were all decorated. There was even a house that had a black cat sitting on the front porch, which I swear was not fake. It was a real black cat that they must have hired to sit there as part of their Halloween decor. But it was terrific. And then you leave Fairborn and come back onto base. And even in that town, all the roads you're running on are completely closed down to traffic, so that it's just as safe as it can be, and you feel so welcome and so celebrated as you're doing that event. So, yeah, good, terrific, good. Terrific place. If you could make that race 20 degrees cooler, it would be possibly the perfect marathon.
Well, you've had two bad or two warm races in a row. Maybe next year is the third time's a charm.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. Well, I think everybody should go do it, and we'll find out together.
Before I get into the meat of what I wanted to talk to you about, let's finish catching up. Is there anything going on with Galloway training programs or customized training or any of that we should know about?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as always, we've got kickoffs happening left, right, and center with our local programs, which is great. Jeff was just over in the UK visiting our friend Jane over in Wales. I'm sure he told you about that.
He did.
And so we've got some folks over there that are anxious to help spread the word about Jeffing, as they call it. And so that's been going well. In terms of customized, lots of great things happening as always, lots of exciting races for all those folks. I really do want to put a plug in for BURN, which is Better You Through Running and Nutrition. This is the program that I do in conjunction with Carissa. Carissa handles all of the nutrition side of it. And we do have on our site, we do have it listed that this is a waiting list thing, and people need to email me to get onto the waiting list. But I'll tell you a secret, which is that the waiting list is only a few days long, that we're able to process people into that plan pretty quickly. And so if anybody is interested in doing the BURN program, even if they've already done customized before, or even if they haven't, send me an email and I can get them an invitation to join BURN within the next few days after that right now. So would love to get some more people recruited into that. We've seen a lot of great success with people that have lost weight and gotten their nutrition straightened out and are feeling much better overall because of nutrition along with the running or walking that they're doing.
Remind us of your email address again.
Chris, Chris, at jeffgalloway.com.
Very good. Thank you.
You betcha.
So listen, here's the meat of what I wanted to talk about. I believe that it was JD posted on Facebook a few weeks ago about trying out some Tailwinds nutrition. And there was a lot of chatter on the Facebook on his post about that. And to be honest, I hadn't heard of it. So I reached out to the, I guess, the inventor, the founder of Tailwinds Nutrition, Mr. Jeff Vierling. And I had a great conversation with him a couple of days ago, and I understand that you two have a history together.
Yeah, sure thing. So great guy, And we have, I've been recommending Tailwind for a while based on my own experience with it. This product I first became aware of a few years ago when they started providing nutrition for several ultra marathons. And in fact, I'm sure the first time I heard about it was in an email that came from Dale Garland, who's the race director of Hard Rock, saying, hey, we've got this new product. It's going to be our hydration on the course. And if anybody wants to get some samples of it, contact the company and they can get you set up and that sort of thing. And so I got some samples of it in, and it's kind of tasty stuff. And then I used it for the first time at the Fort Clinch 100, which is here on the island where I live. They provided the nutrition there, and I was really, really happy with it. One of the issues that a lot of people have with different hydration options is that anything that's flavored can become way too sweet. As you run longer and longer, that flavor just gets less and less palatable, and eventually you just can't stomach the thing that was helping you early in the race. And I've not found that to be the case with Tailwind. The flavors are all understated. It's there, but it's not harsh. And that also means that if I want to double up or triple up on the concentration of the product in my bottle, that still doesn't cause it to become too sweet or too flavorful to the extent that it's not going to agree with my stomach. So I had a lot of good success with it. And then they were giving this talk at Hard Rock, and they, working with them, we were able to come up with a really good protocol, really good method for helping people concentrate the product into a bottle that they can carry with them so that they can get through a half marathon or a marathon where Tailwind might not be the nutrition on the course like it is at different ultras. So it was a really neat connection that we had. They love Jeff. I love their product. And we've had a lot of people that have had some good success with it.
So that's kind of the crux of this thing, because I know we do have a few crazy ultras who listen to the show, but not. I think they're few and far between. Most folks are, you know, 10K, back of the pack, or middle of the pack, half, and marathoners. What have you found with this product for those kinds of distances?
Well, it's a great product all around. But the point is, I think this is true regardless of what nutrition you've tried. If anybody tries to tell you that this one product is going to be great for everybody in every circumstance, they're lying to you, right? They're selling you snake oil. So there will be some people that are going to do great with just water. There are going to be some people that are going to do great with Gatorade. We've had a discussion in Customized lately. There's some people that are using flat Coke as their sports drink. And that's not something that I would ever want to do, but it's working great for some people. But for those that want to try Tailwind or that have tried other things and nothing is really working for them, I have found Tailwind to be terrific. Now, the great benefit of Tailwind is that it gives you all of the electrolyte. It meets all of your electrolyte needs. Mm-hmm. So it's not just going to give you some calories. It's not just going to give you some sugar, but it's also going to give you the electrolytes that you need. And this is something that's going to be important in hot runs, something that's going to be important in long runs, or important when you're going to be just out there in difficult circumstances. And for some people, a half marathon or a 10K or a 15K, you're still talking about, you know, a long time, sometimes in the heat. And so having something that's going to meet those needs is really important. And it also, as I had mentioned before, Tailwind doesn't have an overwhelming flavor. They even have a naked flavor, an unflavored version, if you don't want any flavor at all, which is great. And then you could add some other thing to it to give it a little bit of flavor if you wanted to. Now, for people that are going to be carrying it on a long run or on a race where there's some other product out on the course, and so they're going to be providing their own Tailwind because the race isn't providing it for them, mm-hmm. What they can do is they can concentrate that Tailwind. They can put 2 or 3 or 4 times the recommended amount of powder in their bottle and then add water to top off the bottle and shake it up, and it'll make a more concentrated product. Now, if they can even make it so concentrated that it becomes a gel if they want to, and that works fine as well. And then what you do is, if you're doing a long run, you grab water where you can, at where you know there are water fountains or things like that. If you're doing a race, you just take water from the water stops in the race, and then you continue to use your tailwind, however concentrated it might be, as your nutrition, and then you just drink some water as well to help meet your hydration needs. So it's really flexible as far as that's concerned. And that was my real interest when I had my first conversation with these guys, was I wanted to know, how can I help people who are going to be out there for, you know, not for a day or a day and a half, like some ultra runners, but who are only going to be out there for, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8 hours sometimes, and they still want to use this product. How do we make it work? And the first way is, as I said, concentrating it. Another way, and this is a great thing that they have, they make these individual serving sleeves of their powder. And so if you're carrying a water bottle with the product in it, you can carry along one or two of these sleeves of powder to use as a refill later on, so that when you've used up all the tailwind that you have, you get to your water stop, you take a second, tear open the pouch, dump it into your bottle, and then top it off with water, and you're good to go for the next few miles. And it works great. So, you know, I love the product for that. There are plenty of people that use other things, and that's fine. But it's definitely something, if people have tried other products and they're not getting what they need out of their nutrition, this is something to use. And it really is. It's not just hydration, but it's also the nutrition. The intention for this is for people that would be doing an ultra, for example, when you're going to need calories because you're out there for many, many hours at a time. This meets the needs there. It's a complete nutrition product, and you don't have to take in other things. Right. Although I do tend to take in some whole food as well when I'm doing an ultra.
So try it, and it might work for you. Right.
You know, exactly right. I like it. You can, it's the barrier to entry is really low. You can buy just one of these little pouches. And so you're not spending a lot of money. They've got a lot of different flavors, including a cola flavor now. So for people that like flat Coke, but they want to try something that's maybe not just going to have a lot of high fructose corn syrup in it, but that's going to have some other things, you know, products that are better for you. It's definitely, definitely worth trying. And I have to say, I don't get super, super excited about a lot of different nutrition products because different people have to use different things. But this is one that I've seen work for a wide range of people, using, you know, for all different distances, you know, from the slow 10K runner to all different paces, half marathon runner to marathoners, and then obviously beyond.
Nice. Maybe I'll give this a shot and see how it does for me.
I think you'd like it. You know, there are lots of different flavors, especially right now while it's still hot for some of our runs. This is a good time to make sure you've got something that's going to meet some of those electrolyte needs. Maybe less of an issue as we start to get cold, which eventually it will happen.
Eventually, yeah. So you say.
Yeah, that's theory.
All right. Thank you. I want to move on to one more topic. I have a question for you. Are you up for a little training question?
I am. You didn't prep me with this.
No,
though,
so no, no. This is completely off the cuff. I try to put you on the spot in front of millions and millions of listeners all over the planet.
Okay.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
So
let's do it.
This question is from a friend of mine. Okay. So this friend wants to know. This is a little confusing. Let's call this friend Kelvin. Okay.
Okay.
Kelvin.
Kelvin. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Kelvin has a half marathon in December, right? And kind of just lost track of the calendar. Kevin's kind of a butthead sometimes and didn't even check. So when Kelvin looks at the calendar, it looks like his long run is this weekend for 8 miles, but his long run right now is 5 miles. So part one of this question is, what should he do this weekend?
K-E-L-V-I-N, K-E-L-V-I-N. Kelvin.
8 miles.
8 miles.
That's what's on the schedule, right?
Well, maybe he should find a new coach. This is Kelvin.
Well, I tell you what. I know. So here's the great thing, right? A 8 minus 5 is 3. So we're talking about a difference of 3 miles. He would normally, you know, if he's done 5 recently, going up by a mile to 6 would not be a big deal. So this is my recommendation, is that Kelvin walk for 2 miles to get a nice, easy warm up, and then go out for his, you know, either 5 or 6 mile run, 6 if he's just bumping up one from 5, and now suddenly he's at 8. Or he could go for his 5 mile run walk, and then he can do a 1 mile cool down walk at the end. So 2 mile walk at the beginning, his 5 mile run walk, and then a 1 mile walk at the end, he's at 8. The advantage of doing this is that he doesn't overburden his body or stress it out by jumping up too fast in distance. But at the same time, he's still getting the endurance benefit of the full 8 miles that's on the schedule. And then, you know, you just can't even quantify the psychological benefit of knowing, hey, right now I'm on schedule, and not having to make it up bit by bit over several weeks. But just to know that I bite the bullet by walking extra. So you're not risking your health he's not risking his health by doing any extra running necessarily. But by doing it walking, he's able to get that full distance in, and now, boom, you're right back on schedule.
So basically, you've thrown in one additional mile of running and then the rest walking.
Not even necessarily. I mean, I think going up by 1 mile of running, he's fine. Since he's done 5, then walking 2 and then doing run walk for 6, you've got your 8. So doing that 1 mile is fine. But if that 5 mile, or let's say that wasn't last week, let's say that was a couple of weeks ago, then maybe going up by 1 to 6 still might, even that might seem intimidating. So knowing that it's a 2 mile walk as a warm up, a 5 mile run walk, and then just a 1 mile cool down at the end is, you know, that's less intimidating. Certainly something that he should feel like he can accomplish without much trouble.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at. What if Kelvin is at the opposite end and he's done 5 mile long runs, but he's done 5 miles 6 or 7 days a week for like almost a month now. So he's got a base of 30, 35 per week. So 5 is easy for him and pretty much a normal run. Do you still recommend like 1 mile? Bump up?
I still don't want to see him bumping up that long run by too much. It's easy for us to think, well, I've got a lot of weekly miles in, so I can go up. But the reality is you're out there a much longer time when you're doing longer distance. And, you know, going up by 8, that means even if he's going to be running at a decent clip, he's still out there for half an hour, 45 minutes longer than he has been. And it's, you know, it may be October, but where I am, it's still kind of warm most of the time.
Right. Last question. Still talking about Butthead Kelvin. So he does his 8 miles, you know, 6 run,
yeah,
2 walk, however he does that. But then on the calendar, in 2 weeks, he's got a 9.5 mile long,
yeah,
run. So keep with me here. He's really only done a 6 mile run.
Yeah.
He gets the endurance of the 8. No big deal to go from 8 to 9.5 and run
no.
the whole 9.5 now, or?
Well,
see,
now,
my question.
Run, walk.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
run,
yes,
walk.
Yes,
yes. That. Yes, no big deal at all. You're only going up 1.5 miles in 2 weeks. That's well within what we would do in a normal schedule. And yes, the run, walk portion of the 8 is only 5 or 6 miles, mm-hmm, but the endurance that's on the body is 8 miles worth of endurance. And as long as you're doing the 9.5 at your long run pace, not race pace, but at your long run pace, which is 2 minutes per mile slower than predicted race pace based on the magic mile, then you're good. You're good to do the run walk for the whole 9.5. So that's the great thing about making up the distance in one run with that extra walking, is you don't have to make accommodations in later runs. You're there, you're on schedule, and then you can follow out the rest of the schedule as printed.
Perfect.
Yep.
I've taken notes. I'm going to pass this along to Kelvin.
And you know what? Absolutely. And if he has any problems, let him know that he can Skype me and we can try three or four times to get it right.
I don't know what you're referring to. You lost me here now. Okay.
Again?
Okay. I appreciate it, Chris. Last item. What do you got on your horizons? Any races coming up?
Yeah. Well, probably the thing I'm most looking forward to is the Marine Corps Marathon at the end of the month.
Oh, that's right.
Because I'll be there with my wife and my dad. It'll be his fifth Marine Corps, and just so much looking forward to that trip. Actually got two half marathons that the Galloway Pacers are doing, are pacing between now and then. So there's a USO half marathon, which is kind of fun. That's a good organization, obviously, that, yeah. that helps support our service men and women. And, so I'll be pacing that one. And then a Zuma half marathon. Zuma is a series of women's half marathons. And so we provide the pacers for the one, their race that happens to be here on the island. And so I'm looking forward to pacing that. And then we'll get the chance to do Marine Corps at the end of the month. So those are the things that I've got coming up and that I'm looking forward to. We've got a lot of customized folks that are going to be going down to Disney for the Wine and Dine half marathon beginning in November. And, of course, we're looking forward to doing that as well. We'll meet up with a bunch of Galloway program directors that always show up to help pace that event. So that'll be fun, too.
Where's the USO deal, the half?
It's in Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, okay.
It's in Jacksonville, so it's local.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, those first two are local. So it was neat getting away from town and going up to Dayton to do Air Force. And then we'll get to head the other direction beginning of December, right after Thanksgiving, to pace the Space Coast Marathon. And that's down near Cape Canaveral. So that'll be, a fun one coming up as well.
Good. Well, have a good time. Good luck with all your traveling and all the haves and fulls. And make sure you tell Dad I said, hey, at DC.
I will. Absolutely. For sure. And and thanks so much. I love talking with you. Love interacting with all the great folks on the website and every other place that I get the chance to. So if anybody that's listening is going to be at Marine Corps, and I know we got a lot of folks that are, make sure they hit me up. I'd love to see them. I may even have some extra squooshes in my pocket to hand out to some folks.
Very good. Appreciate it. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks,
have a
man.
Good day.
You too. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go, episode 6.5 of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. Good stuff, huh? I mentioned this with Jeff, but I want to think about this a little bit and talk about it with you. If we do stop and give it some thought, virtually every training question that Jeff and I have discussed over the past 10 years can be boiled down to this. How can Galloway Run, Walk, Run be adjusted to help me with ... right? It just so happens today's sentence is finished with the question of aging. But whether it's how can we qualify for Boston, how can we get back from an injury, how can we run through the heat, all of it has something to do with a question like that, and how can the Run Walk One be adjusted to help us? And I would submit to you that Jeff Galloway's Run Walk Run stuff, his training program, always has an answer, doesn't it? There is no program I'm aware of that is so flexible. Many programs would just answer that by saying, take some time off and then, you know, come back when you feel better or something like that. But Run Walk One doesn't do that. And that's what is so amazing. And that is the reason Run Walk Run is the only plan that makes sense, especially as we all get a little bit older. So I am so glad I've discovered this stuff and so glad that you all helped me spread it. So listen, as you heard, Kelvin had an 8-miler on the books recently, right? It's his first long run for the Northside Hospital Orthopedic Institute half marathon coming up on December 15th. Just barely over 2 months away. And Kelvin had this planned just for last Friday morning. So Mother Nature cooperated perfectly with just a little overcast and 61 degree temperatures. So all the stars were aligned for Kelvin. But at the last minute, some nut job scheduled a meeting for him. Oh, I hate when that happens. That completely messed up his timeline for his 8-miler. Coach Twiggs told Kelvin to run 6 miles and walk 2. And what Kelvin figured out quickly was that he wouldn't have time to run 6 miles at the pace that he was told to run and then walk a couple of miles in addition. No matter how fast he walked those, he wasn't going to have enough time. So given the weather and how darn good Kelvin happened to be feeling, what Kelvin actually did was used a 60-30 ratio for about 5.5 miles, and then a 120/30 ratio. That's a 2-minute run and a 30-second walk for the last mile and a half, for a total of 7 miles. So Kelvin didn't get his 8 miles in, but he ran his 7 miles feeling amazing the entire way, with zero doubt that he could have run another mile plus at the end of that. So Kelvin made his own run, walk, run adjustments, and Kelvin's not 100% sure that Coach Twiggs would have approved. In fact, Kelvin's pretty sure that Coach Twiggs probably would not completely approve. But there you go. With that said, Kelvin feels pretty darn great about where he is right now in his half marathon training. So stay tuned for more of that. I think he's got a 9.5-miler as his next run on the calendar in a couple of weeks. So there you go. So lastly, those of you who follow us on either the Extra Mile Podcast Jeff Galloway Edition Facebook page or the closed Extra Mile Podcast Facebook page, which, by the way, I will once again invite you to join us for that conversation, you may have seen our Save the Date posting. If not, head over there and read it, will you? And all I'll say right now is this. The 26.2 with Donna National Marathon to Finish Breast Cancer, the Jeff Galloway Training Programs Group, and the Extra Mile Podcast are asking that you save the date of February 29th, 2020 for an extra day event. Please stay tuned for a lot more exciting details about that, will you? That's all I got. Thanks for the download. I'd like to also thank Coach Twiggs, Coach Galloway, and especially Jeff over at Tailwinds Nutrition for joining us for the episode today. I'll put links in the show notes where you can find all the information you need about Tailwinds Nutrition. And if you, by chance, give that a shot, let us all know how it's doing for you, will you? We've had a lot of feedback over in Facebook, and I will say this, 100% of it has been all good. So give it a shot. Check out the show notes for all the stuff we spoke about today as well. Like I said, thanks for the download, the last hour plus of your lives. We don't take that lightly. And thanks for sharing us with a friend. Mostly, please, please think about joining us for Jeff's half marathon in December in Atlanta. December the 15th is race day, but come on down and join us for an entire weekend of extra mile events. It's good stuff. More about that as we get a little bit closer. Keep your eyes on our Facebook page for more conversations about that. Till the next time, y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Joining us for this edition of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. Please visit our website at www.thegallowayextramile.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show or send your audio questions for Jeff or Chris to podcast@jeffgalloway.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, enjoy your extra mile.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. And over to the cool down portion of the show, we'll catch up with Coach Twist Kiggs. Jesus. All right. Let's do that over again.
Love it.
Let's.
Okay, sure. I was going to give you credit because it was the first time in months that you didn't have to ask me what we call this portion of the show.
Well, just so you know, I have it written down this time. I had to look and write it down. But so close. Yeah. There we go. Take two.